House Labor and Commerce, we are back from recess. The time is 2:08 p.m., Saturday, May 13th. With us, we have Representative Sadler, Representative Prox, Representative Carrick, Vice Chair Ruffridge, and myself, Chair Sumner. Helping us today is Amanda Kraft with the LIO and Kevin Allen with House Records, Clark Bickford, my staff, and committee aide for House Labor and Commerce. We have SB 45 on the agenda today. We have six amendments to discuss and public testimony. Representative Sadler.
Mr. Chairman, if you will bear with me, amendments to SB 45 are in order. Go ahead.
Yes.
Very good. So I would move conceptual amendment number one to CS for SB 45 Labor and Commerce Amendment version 33LS0211/D.A. The amendment would delete on page 1, line 14, through page 2, line 10, those lines, which deletes the reference to Medicaid requirement that direct care providers provide care to Medicaid patients, but it would leave in the reference to the requirement to serve Medicare and uninsured patients.
Okay, without objection, conceptual amendment number one has passed. Representative Sadler.
Mr. Chairman, I would offer conceptual amendment two to SB 45, same number. And my conceptual amendment would be as follows. First, where appropriate in the bill, I would insert a new section that would state the following. Quote, that a direct health care agreement and health care provider or a health care business providing health care services under a direct health care agreement is subject to Alaska Statute 2136 to the extent applicable and not in conflict with the express provisions of this section. Further, my conceptual amendment 2 would, where appropriate, insert a new section that would state the following, something to the effect that, except as provided in this section, a healthcare business or healthcare provider that offers or executes a direct healthcare agreement that complies with the section is not otherwise subject to this title. And finally, conceptual amendment 3, the third element on page 6, would delete language starting on line, page 6, line 3 through line 20, deleting all language.
Okay.
Representative Ruffridge.
I would just like to object for discussion purposes. I'm not certain what the deletion language is in regards to. I didn't know Representative Sadler could
Mr. Chair, I believe I'm going to call a lifeline, if I may, Ms. Winghire for the Division of Commerce, Community Economic Development, Division of Insurance, if she's available to help me provide the detailed answers that Representative Ruffridge would like to hear.
Mrs. Winghire, if you would please approach.
And her.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair to Representative Sadler, those two amendments were proposed by the office of Senator Wilson, I believe. So if it's okay, I'd like to ask her to respond to why they were put in.
Ahead, for the record, this is Jasmine Martin, staff to Senator Wilson. And so for this first piece here, this is making these agreements, it's removing, well, move down to the bottom, it's removing some of the penalty language that's in here and then inserting this language about AS 2136, which is where other penalty languages for the insurance, our insurance title, Title 21. And then these two pieces at the to the extent applicable and not in conflict with express provisions of this section, and then except as provided in this section. Both of these are mirroring language that we have in our air ambulance statutes. And so some of the movements here have been, some of the discussion on some of the movements in the language in the past were to work similarly to the air ambulance statutes, and that is what we are attempting to do here in addition to this 2136 language.
Thank you. Representative Ruffridge, do you maintain with your objection?
Yes, Chair Sumner. Just one further question in regards to the civil penalties that are in that language that's being deleted. I guess I'm not certain as to the purpose for civil penalties to begin with, so I guess I am not in opposition to removing that language, but why was the language in there to begin with?
For the record, this is Jasmine Martin, staff to Senator Wilson, through the chair to Representative Ruffridge. That language was added by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. It was added when there was other provisions in the bill, and the bill looked a little bit different. Before, it was moved completely under the insurance statutes. Later, the bill was moved completely under the insurance statutes, but this piece was left in there, and there was no reference to the other pieces of insurance statutes with their penalty regulations.
Understood. Thank you. I will withdraw my...
Okay, without objection, conceptual amendment number 2 has passed. Representative Wright.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move conceptual amendment number 3. This amendment brings the definition of healthcare business back in line with the original bill. This change is necessary as the definition inserted previously requiring residency was likely unconstitutional.
Object.
Okay, there is objection. Representative Ruffridge.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. So, entirely owned by healthcare providers is the new definition. I guess when we heard this bill in its companion form, this was a point of discussion that I had, and wanted to make sure that there was the clarity that healthcare providers. Well, I guess, is this bill in its current form designed to eliminate the ability for larger healthcare systems to enter direct healthcare agreements with this language?
And I think we'll go to Senator Wilson or staff.
Sorry, can you repeat the end of that question again?
So there was some language in the companion bill that essentially was trying to define that only smaller, I guess, physician-owned practices or healthcare provider-owned practices would be able to participate in a direct healthcare agreement. And I'm wondering if this language would keep that intention or if it would be a little more broad to allow larger healthcare systems that may not be, I guess, healthcare providers specifically participate in direct healthcare agreements.
For the record, this is Senator David Wilson, Senator for District N. By leaving it still as healthcare providers, we're still have that limited, so it's not healthcare corporations per se. Now, most healthcare entities can have contractual agreements with healthcare providers within their entity. But if you would like, Mr. Chair, the main purpose of this amendment was the concerns of the residency requirements referenced in this bill. And since the bill that was added to the piece of legislation, we did get a memo from Megan Wallace about that issue. As we tried to do this before with oil and gas companies, fisheries, in terms of ownership. And basically it comes down to whether the state can justify the residency-based discriminations under the Privileges and Immunity Clause that the court finds activity, discrimination, and privileges cause of the protection. Basically, we just need to have a reason to have that in there, and that's never been stated upon why the reason for that. It's the same thing why the Ninth Circuit Court struck down twice the in-state and out-of-state campaign contributions, because you can't discriminate based upon residency of an individual. Without just cause. And we don't have that just cause that was ever announced or discussed in committees. And so that's why we feel that this needs to be removed for the same premise. And if you'd like to, we can have the committee aid. I mean, I have enough. That's out the. No, no. Mrs. Martin.
For the record, Jasmine Martin, staff to Senator Wilson, I don't have anything necessarily to add to that explanation. We do have the memo here if the committee would like to see it, and we can get it posted to the basis with your committee aid.
Thank you for the, through the chair, for the description of the amendment. I guess, so I think I do just have a concern, and I want to make sure that concern is addressed in the bill, that in many times, clinics or healthcare providers, especially in this new, insurance environment we're living in and difficulty with maintaining profit margins, you're seeing small healthcare provider-owned clinics being bought by larger corporations. And so for example, in my hometown, there's, I think, maybe three clinics left that are healthcare provider owned. And I'm worried that it would very much, I guess, narrowly tailor the bill to only be applicable to one or two businesses. And if those businesses were to ever sell to a larger corporation that might not be specifically provider owned, that you would have some, I don't know, you would have some issues. I worry that that specific language essentially just the number of healthcare businesses that are entirely owned by healthcare providers is pretty small.
Through the chair, this is Senator David Wilson. You know, we have a lot of different types of just providers. If you're just thinking about just primary care providers, a lot of them aren't. They are still physician owned within most of the rail belt. If you look at dentists, pediatrics groups, chiropractic, physical therapy, those are all provider owned entities. And so we're not trying to include, like I said, there was a lot of concern in our body upon having the corporate entities, especially what you see now happening across the U.S. with venture capitalist groups coming in and buying up more profitable entities. And we don't necessarily want to include them in this bill. We are looking at the providers, and we're looking at making sure that we can be more inclusive of that definition of provider so that we don't limit and that we stay constitutionally on the right side of that issue. But at the same time, you know, I understand the address concern, but we just want to make sure we get something that would still respect the wishes of the previous committee and making sure that we had provider owned facilities. But again, we would respect the position of the process. And I think Ms. Martin may have some.
And just to add, for the record, this is Jasmine Martin, staff of Senator Wilson, to the chair of Representative Ruffridge and to other committee members. The definition that is proposed in this amendment is actually broader than the definition that's currently in version D.8. And so this is trying to strike a balance between keeping this so narrow that absolutely no one, you know, is going to be able to provide these services because there's going to be no businesses that meet these requirements, and not making it so broad that, you know, any stranger off the street can buy up a clinic or start a clinic that has no association with healthcare or our state.
Representative Bradford. Just taking that ease for a second. That is.
Okay, we're back on the record. Representative Bradford, do you maintain your objection?
I do.
Please call the roll.
Representative Carrick.
Yes.
Representative Wright.
Yes.
Representative Ruffridge.
No.
Representative Brox.
Yes.
Representative Sadler.
Yes.
Representative Sumner.
Yes. And so with 5 yeas and 1 nay, Conceptual Amendment 3 has passed. Representative Wright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will not be offering Conceptual Amendment Number 4.
A Conceptual Amendment Number 4 has not been offered. Representative Ruffridge.
Chair Sumner, I offer Conceptual Amendment Number 5.
Representative Ruffridge.
I offer Conceptual Amendment Number 5.
All right. Seeing no objection, Conceptual Amendment Number 5 has passed.
Can we take a brief at ease?
At ease. Record, Representative Ruffridge.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. I offer Conceptual Amendment Number 6.
Okay, without objection, Conceptual Amendment Number 6 has passed. Representative Kerr.
I move Conceptual Amendment Number 7.
Object.
Okay, Representative Kerr.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. Conceptual Amendment Number 7. Ties in with Senate Bill 45 in that both the amendment and the underlying bill provide additional options for Alaskans seeking health care and provide access expansion for Alaskans. direct healthcare agreements have the ability to be potentially more affordable, more accessible, and has provisions to provide protection against surprise medical bills for out-of-network emergency services and out-of-network non-emergency services. And all of this is to say that Alaskans with a direct healthcare agreement would have an option in addition to their insurance in order to better access the services that they need. Similarly, the amendment number 7 being authored provides flexibility by expanding insurance coverage for contraceptives for Alaskan women who may have difficulty accessing service for work, for living in rural Alaska, or just due to having busy schedules. And so both bills relate to improved access for care and just improved expansion of health options.
Senator Wilson, as the bill sponsor, would you like to speak to this amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair. At this time, I would oppose this amendment. We have a bill in our body, and it's been sitting there all year. We do not have a hearing request from the bill sponsor as the chair of the Health and Human Services Committee to properly vet said piece of legislation. We haven't had public testimony on that piece of legislation yet in our body, and just want to make sure that before we include pieces of legislation, entire pieces of legislation, that there is a good vetting process and public input and stakeholder involvement and engagement to have a robust conversation.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Sadler, do you maintain your objection?
Yes, sir. I would just offer yes that, speak my objection briefly.
Yes.
The whole point, I understand, Mr. Chair, of the direct care agreement is that it is explicitly not insurance, and that the mention of the division of insurance in the title is simply to, it's not to authorize insurance, but just a necessary statement about the division cannot do thus and such. So I think the addition of an amendment, which is a substantial piece of policy legislation, as the previous speaker, absent speaker, made the point to include this at this point into a bill that's about direct health care agreements, is not quite appropriate and deserves consideration under its own merits. So yes, I do maintain my objection.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Representative Fields.
Yes.
Representative Brocks.
No.
Representative Ruffridge.
Yes.
Representative Sadler.
No.
Representative Wright.
No.
Representative Carrick.
Yes.
Representative Ruffridge.
No.
Chair Sumner.
No. So with two yeas and five nays, amendment number 7 has failed to pass. That completes the amendments received. We will open public testimony on SB 45. Is there anybody in the room that wishes to testify? Okay, seeing none, we'll go online. We have a Pam Ventkin with the Alaska State Medical Association. Mrs. Ventkin, if you can hear me, please begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. My name is Pam Benson. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska State Medical Association. The Alaska State Medical Association has taken a hard look at both Senate Bill 45 and House Bill 47 and met with providers who provide such services and have taken a position supporting passage of these bills. While we are not endorsing any particular model as being better than any other, it is important that providers have flexibility in how they want to offer their services to patients. Direct healthcare models can offer patients a different practice model that the patient may prefer. It is also important to note that currently, direct healthcare is legal in Alaska. Let me repeat that. Alaska law allows for direct healthcare. The problem is that currently to offer direct health care, you have to file as an insurance company. This bill is not about whether we should authorize this practice model. It is solely about whether the requirement to regulate such a practice model as an insurance company, like Premera or Aetna or Cigna, is appropriate, or whether a less burdensome and less costly regulatory framework can adequately protect patients. Maybe it helps to think of it in terms of a different kind of business. Think of it maybe like a monthly pass to a car wash. You buy the pass, you can use the car wash as many times as you want during that month, or not at all if you choose not to. There is a slight risk that the purchaser might, for the purchaser, if that company goes out of business for the end of the month and they lose that pre-purchase value or service. But I would offer that medical practices tend to be fairly stable. It has been explained to me that Alaska has a broad definition of insurance that treats things like air ambulance membership agreements and direct healthcare as insurance companies, much the same as Primera or Aetna. Requiring direct healthcare to meet those regulatory requirements similar to a traditional insurance company is overly burdensome, extremely costly, and works to prevent a legal business model from being utilized in Alaska. While I appreciate people can have different views on whether direct healthcare model is good or not, I think it's clear that a physician's office charging a monthly fee to patients does not need the same oversight as a major insurance company insuring tens of thousands of Alaskans with unknown total liabilities and the need to insure vast reserves of funds. The Division of Insurance regulates insurance companies. The Alaska Medical Board regulates physicians. The Alaska Medical Board has tremendous oversight over practitioners and how they treat their patients, including the process to terminate a physician-patient relationship. We think this oversight is sufficient, but understand the committee substitute adopts a solution similar to air ambulance membership agreements to maintain some Division of Insurance oversight while not requiring the voluminous and costly regulatory filings of major insurance companies. This seems like a good compromise, and the Alaska State Medical Support, the Medical Association supports Senate Bill 45. Thank you for hearing our testimony.
Thank you. And then we have a Dr. Wade Erickson. Dr. Erickson, if you can hear me, please begin your testimony.
Yeah, hello. This is Wade Erickson. I'm a family physician from Wasilla and founder of Capstone Clinic. And I'm testifying in support of House Bill 47 for direct health care. I appreciate the executive director's comments on the state of healthcare in Alaska, and I appreciate the committee meeting and hearing these comments. I do believe that this is a healthcare payment model that has been tried and true in about 40 states across the country for the past 10 years. In talking with physicians and other leaders in those states, there have not been a lot of the concerns that we've been brought up with this particular bill, fortunately. So it seems as though it runs fairly smoothly when it is enacted, and providers and patients are left to their own devices with regards to the contractual relationship that they have. So having said that, I think that I appreciate the sidebars that have been placed on the contractual relationship. I believe that they are workable, perhaps not ideal, but workable, and will allow our state to join the ranks of the rest of the country in providing a better access, lower cost, and higher quality of healthcare. With that, I'll end my testimony.
Thank you, Dr. Erickson. Seeing no other public testimony, we will close public testimony. Also, let the record reflect that Representative Fields joined us, I believe, at 2:25. Vice Chair Ruffridge, what is the will of the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move Senate Bill 45, also known as Work Order 33-LS0211-D.A, be moved from committee as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Okay. Without objection, Senate Bill 45 has been moved from the committee. Please brief at ease.
Chair Sumner, I would make a correction to my motion. I would move Senate Bill 45 from committee, also known as 33-LS0211/D.A, be moved from committee as amended with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal notes, and authorize legislative legal to make conforming changes and adjustments as necessary for our conceptual amendments.
Okay, without objection, Senate Bill 45 has moved from committee. Please stay to sign the committee report, and we are adjourned. Let the record reflect the time is 2:37 p.m.